Offering plate there today. Let me just give a shout out and thank you to all the volunteers that helped yesterday for the funeral dinner. What a blessing that was. And again, I thank you for all the work that went on to be able to put that on. I think that's a real ministry opportunity in our church family to be able to do that. And so again, I thank the volunteers yesterday. And then a shout out too also to John Phillips and Rick Briggs. We're in here putting some bulbs in the sanctuary. You want to get your heart race up? Get on the thing, the ladder that goes up, and get up there on that ceiling. And I always joke about it because guys like Rick back here, he can get on the top of that and dangle over the side and not worry about it. I don't. I go up with fear and trepidation. I'm not afraid to do it, but some guys in the church will not even attempt it. So thanks, guys, for all that. Thanks for the snow removal. Thanks for all the volunteers yesterday on the funeral dinner. Well, we could not do what we do around the church without many volunteers that make that possible. So just thank you for your labor of love today. In your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of 1 John and 1 John chapter 4. You know, we recently just went through this week. I'm sure you remembered it. Valentine's Day was on Friday, I believe it was, and the date. And always kind of a reminder. You know, when you think about Valentine's Day, but I think about more importantly than Valentine's Day is how important that our God is. And the Bible talks about that God is love. And the world that we live in today, you see, at least it seems like here lately, it's escalated where there's a lot of hatred, a lot of racism, a lot of things where people, just a lot of things where in our society that tries to divide society and to try to divide people. And but yet we find in the Bible that the Bible talks about that God is love. And I know you had a chance on Valentine's Day to share that with those that are around you that means something special to you. But I want to take a look here, if you will, in 1 John 4 on that very issue. We need more of God in our world, more of God's love in the world that we live in today. More love in our homes and our families. More love in the marriages and the family unit. And don't let a day go by that you don't tell your spouse or you tell your children or tell your grandchildren whenever you are with them, hey, I love you. And that's such an important thing that should be a part of our everyday life. But look what John says here. And to put it in context, we want to begin in verse 1 and to see what John has to say here around that idea that God is love. In verse 1, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And hereby know ye the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God," John says, "little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Boy, you ought to underline that part of it and keep that in mind, that we know Satan goes to and fro and up and down the land, that Satan is the prince and power of the air. But right here, greater is he, greater is Christ, greater is the Lord that is in you than he that is in the world. "They are of the world," in verse 5, "therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We," he says, "believers, are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There's the contrast, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and every one that loveth God is born of God and knoweth God." And here's the key text verse in verse 8. It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love." It's one of the main attributes of the God that we worship, that God is love. From him seminates love, and therefore abound. And we would know no love unless we know it came from God. It says, "And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love. Not that we love God." And men, I'm going to bring out and point out to you today, talking about conditional or unconditional love. Think about that today. Conditional or unconditional. And he says right here, he enters love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And hereby is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him. Notice this now, talking about conditional, unconditional love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Boy, how important is that verse right there? If we say we love God and hate our brother, we are a liar. Says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Interesting, when you look at it, you think all sorts of love today, and we look at it, the world that we live in today is full of all kinds of things and all kinds of deceit and all kinds of things going on. I think it's always good and important to come back to understand today that God is the center of all love that is created, and he is literally the attribute of God. To know God is to know love. And when you think about this thing of conditional or unconditional, God's love for mankind, as described in the Bible, is clearly, you ought to mark this down and note it, is clearly unconditional. It's easy to love those that love you, but to love those that don't love you, God is full of love. And in that, his love, God's love is expressed toward the objects of his love, despite their disposition towards him. You think about it, in other words, God loves without placing any conditions on the loved ones. And that's the unconditional love of God. He loves because it is God's nature to love. First John chapter 4 and verse 8. He loves because that is God's nature. That is who he is. That's what he's all about, and the importance of love. And that love moves him towards a benevolent action that he carries out. We know that he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, according to Matthew chapter 5. But the essence of it all is that God is love. The unconditional nature of God's love is most clearly seen in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel message is basically, is really, when you think about the gospel, the story of the Bible, is really just a message of hope. It's a message of God's love to humanity. And as God considered the plight really of his rebellious people, those that rebelled against him, he determined before the history of time is to send his only begotten son, and determined that it was based upon his love for us. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 and verse 5. That Paul gave us this. He said, according as he has chosen us in Ephesians 1, 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by the Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God's love is at the center of that gospel message. The book of Romans, it talks about, go to Romans chapter 5. Let me show you this that Paul gave us in Romans chapter 5. You think about so much here, so much great Bible doctrine in the book of Romans, but you get over to chapter 5. And you look at verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, said, for when we were yet without strength, Paul said, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, peradventure. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But here it is now, verse 8, one of the greatest verses in the book of Romans. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So really, one of the essence, one of the things in who God really is really loves us unconditionally. So despite the hostility and the enmity or the hatred that many times people have towards God, he still loves them. And so just to think about that, God revealed his love toward us in giving his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, really to be the propitiation for our sin. When we were unlovely, we didn't deserve to be loved, and yet he loved us because of who he is and the essence of who God is. So God condescended to become a man and lived among his people and therefore gave his life. God experienced our humanity. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he literally, you think about, was there any other way to do that? No, there was no other way. The greatest love that God showed was the ability to be able to send his only begotten son here on this earth and to walk through humanity to be able to show us what love really, really is all about. So the divine rescue, the divine gospel, the gospel is really based on an unconditional love, resulting in the act that he gives us. As Jesus said in John 15, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. So when you think about that, that God in Christ, what he has done, the unconditional nature of God's love is made clear all the way throughout the Bible, unconditionally. You know, if you think about it, it's the same love that you and I should have for our children. And because God is an example of that love, that no matter what our children do, no matter what your grandchildren do, it should be an unconditional love. You know, it is so important. It's really a sad thing to be able to see. And I think it's important that people know that are around you, that you love, that you communicate that, and you share that. I know sometimes growing up, I've heard people say to me, Pastor, I grew up in a home where they never expressed that love. They never shared that love. They never said that I love you. The very essence of God, that God is love. And we ought to let those know around us that we love them and love them dearly. Don't let, you know, I will share this with you. I was growing up as a teenager, and my grandfather on my father's side of the family passed away. I think I've already shared this story with the congregation. And at the funeral, we're at the funeral. My grandfather on my father's side is laying in this casket, and as they come by the casket to greet it, there was 8 children in the family, 2 girls, 6 boys. And all 8 of them gathered around my grandfather, and my dad's brother, my Uncle Doyle, collapsed at the casket. Casket is open. My grandfather's laying there. We're all sitting there. I'm just a young, I was probably 12, 13 years old at the time. And my uncle laid there almost, he was just crying so bad and just in such agony, and he literally had his arms draped over the casket over his father, my grandfather. And he kept crying over and over and saying, I never told him that I loved him. I never told him that I loved him. And he wept and he cried and he poured his heart out. I'm sitting there as a young kid. I'm saying, whoa, I didn't know what to think of all this. And literally, I watched my dad, my father, and his brothers literally pick up their brother, and they literally had to carry him out of the funeral home. And don't let life go by. Life is a fleeting moment. It goes by so quickly. Let those know around you day by day. And if you have to do, go overkill and just let them know how much you appreciate them. And when I'm talking to one of my kids, I always let them know. I never hang up the phone, never end a visit without a hug and hey, and look him in the eye, and I love you. And I appreciate everything about you. And so God's love, it emanates from him. It is so important to understand, to note that God's love is a love that initiates. It is never a response. So that is precisely what makes it unconditional. If God's love were conditional, then we would have to do something to earn it or to merit. Do our children always do what we want them to do? No, but we still love them. Do they always obey? No, but we still love them. And so God's love is unconditional. And sometimes I'll watch people that will say, you know what, I'll love you, but it's based on certain conditions. They may not say the conditions, but it's a conditional love. And that should not be. Our love should be a genuine that God initiates and puts example in our life. It should be based on no conditions, that we love our those that are dear and precious to us. God's unconditional love. If God's love were conditional, then we would have to do something to merit it or something to earn it, but we would have somehow to appease his wrath or cleanse ourselves from our sin. But that is not the biblical message that it gives here in the book of James. And the gospel, that is from God, motivated by love. His love is absolutely conditional. When you think about it, does God love, you know, I sat and I thought about this, does God love everyone? And you think about that, and I don't know about you, but I would say yes. And why would you say yes? Because the Bible simply says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God's love is unconditionally loves the entire world. Now think about this, though. When you think about it, yes, he does. But he shows mercy and kindness to all. But in that sense, his love is unconditional. Does God love Christians in a different way than he loves non-Christians? And again, I would answer that, yes. I think he does. He shows his love because believers have exercised their faith in God's Son and the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I become saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. So the unconditional, merciful love that God has for everyone should bring us to faith in Christ, receiving that gratefulness and the unconditional covenant love that he grants. So my point simply being today that when you and I are out there in the world, coming and going, and you meet somebody along the way, it could be a total stranger, could be somebody you don't know, could be an enemy of yours, could be somebody that you may not like. I want you to keep in mind that God loves that person. God's love is unconditional. God's love is for all of humanity. And the Bible doesn't say in John 3:16 that God so loved the saved, God so loved the believers. Although he does, it says God so loved the world. And why he did so is he gave his only begotten Son that they would come to know him as Lord and Savior. So what does it mean here when you look at it here that God is love in this text of Scripture? Take your Bible and go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. When you look at how the Bible describes love, then we'll see in a few ways in which that love, the essence of that love. You look at 1 Corinthians and you go to chapter 13. And we know that love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, love does not boast. Love is not proud, love is not rude. And so when you think about here, 1 Corinthians, look in chapter 13 there in verse 4, and talks about charity. Now the word in the King James Version uses the word charity, which it means love. Love suffereth long, charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, it doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, and beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And look at it here in verse 8. Charity, or love, never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But then, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When as a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But look at these three right here. The greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. Out of these three, out of faith and hope and charity, love is the greatest thing. Greatest thing you can do for your spouse, I really think, really, the greatest thing you can do in your marriage relationship is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. Love God more than anything else. And by loving God and understanding that love, you will then be able to relate to and understand the depths of God's love in loving your spouse. You want to love your children. You want to love your grandchildren. And that, love the Lord thy God. His love is a deep love, is a love that is sincere, and all love generates from God. And so in love, God does not force himself on anyone. He creates within man. The Bible simply says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And those who come to him do so in response to his love. If you really think about it, the Bible explains it abundantly clear that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the greatest gift you and I are ever going to get is God's love. And that God's love was shown and expressed through God's Son in coming to the cross and dying on the cross for our sin. God's love, the depth of his love. And so when you think about it, Jesus went about doing good to everyone. With, think about this, without partiality. If you're not careful, in the world we live in today, there's a lot of partiality. There's a lot of the way that people look at society, but that's not how God looks at it. In love, Jesus did not covet what others had, living a humble life and without complaining. And so when you think about it, in love, the Lord Jesus Christ did not brag about who he was. When you think about it in the flesh, what did he always bragged about? He always bragged on God. He always talked about God's love. I always must be about my Father's business. So all the time you see that. And so although he could have overpowered anyone that he ever came in contact with, we know that in love, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly obeyed his Father in heaven all the way during the time he was here on the earth. He said, the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me to do, in John 14, verse 31. So in love, the Lord Jesus was and is always looking out for the interests of others. Think about it. The greatest expression, I think, of love is expressed right there in John 3, in verse 16. And that God so loved the world. God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Let me share with you, go to 1 John chapter 1, there just before Revelation. And you get to 1 John chapter 1. You get down to verse 9, which simply says here in the Bible that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so we look at it here. Love is always willing to forgive. So what does it mean that God's is love? If you really think about it in the Bible, love is an attribute, what we call an attribute of God. Love is the core aspect of God's character and his person. God's love is in no sense in conflict with his holiness or with his righteousness or with his justice or even his wrath. And so all of God's attributes come into perfect harmony as we follow him. And everything God does is loving, is just as everything. He's just, he's right. God is the perfect example of what true love really, really is all about. And the Bible gives us an abundant picture of that. And what does it mean that this love is of God? And we found it here in our text, here in the scripture. And with these words, John here, John wrote this in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation, the Gospel of John. But John launches here an extended teaching on the importance of teaching, this whole chapter on the importance of love. He starts by clarifying that the believer's ability, your ability, my ability, your ability to love comes from knowing God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows that love. And the idea of love is of God can also be expressed that love is from God and all love comes from him. And so we know that John explains that that source of all that love is the divine nature of God. You know really what you really see it in our society today. It depends on what you're looking for. Because out there you can see there's a lot of bitterness, there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of trying to divide, there's a lot of lies, there's a lot of deception, there's a lot of things, and the Bible's abundantly clear. Satan goes to and fro, up and down the land, seeking whom he may devour. But you also see out there in the world today, there's a lot of love out there today, and all that love, whatever that is, comes from knowing God and centers. You know what we need? And I pray for peace in Israel. I pray that we can see peace come here shortly to Ukraine and Russia and all that. There's so much loss of life. And wars are started over some of the craziest things down through history. And when you look at it today, it's a bad thing. And when you look at it here, the idea of love can also be expressed. This love is of God. So John is really teaching, reveals why love is really essential to the believer's life. Love is the litmus test of an authentic relationship. You know, sometimes relationships go sour. Sometimes something happens, and somebody, I've had people say this to me over the years, Pastor, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. You know what? Doesn't make any difference what somebody said. Doesn't make any difference what they did. No matter what happened, broke it down. The Bible simply says, Jesus taught this, God said it in the Bible in 1 John, that if you say you love God and hold any hatred in your heart towards another human being, then you really don't love God. The depths of His love is created. And so whatever it is, we ought to be able to forgive. We ought to be able to, and Jesus said it's easy to love those that love you. But to love your enemies, that's the hard part. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? The only way you can do that is by knowing God's love and the depths of His love, and to know that you can look, and sometimes the people that have hurt you the most, the people that have been maybe even an enemy in life along the way, and you look at it and you say, you know what? When I see them coming, I turn and go the other way. When I see this happen in my life, you know, yeah, I'll forgive them, but I don't forget. And simply this, if you want to know the depths of God's love, we got to get past in the forgiveness and to realize that the essence of God, the attribute of God, is that God is love. Sometimes the hurt gets so deep. Sometimes the hatred can be so strong. And simply as God teaches here, that He is the center of what love is all about. And so by nature, human love is really selfish or conditional. We love those who love us, but we love people who are kind to us, who offer some benefit to us. But Jesus taught a higher principle. Love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the cheek also. We studied that the other night in a Bible study. Do to others, you know, you say that if someone, you know, he said, if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Do to others, you'd have them do to you. If you love those who love you, then what credit is that for you? And Luke's gospel puts it, you know, God's love is what we call in the Bible an agape love. And by that meaning, it's a self-sacrificing, it's an unconditional love. An agape love is those that don't deserve our love, and yet those who disappoint us, mistreat us, reject us, or even hate us. That's an agape love. That's the love that God is. That's the love that goes deep. That's the love that we need to embellish and put into our hearts, into our lives. And agape is the only possible when we are born of God in our hearts. And agape love is of God, initiated by God. Yes, you can forgive. Yes, you can get rid of any hatred. Yes, you can get rid of anything that's gone. And don't hold that and harbor that. It depends how much you want to love God in your relationship. God is the essence of all love. The Bible gives us that. John wants us to love one another, he said here, with that agape love, because that is how God loved, the depths of that love. Greater love has this than to lay one's life for his friends in John 15. So God illustrated what love really looks like by giving, by serving, by dying on the cross. He set the bar high for you and I, an example. And sometimes, is it hard? Absolutely it's hard. It's difficult. Love is of God, and as we look to Him and all things, we know that means that our love is to show that it emanates from Him and the source. And believers can love with God's heart because God's love has been poured into our hearts. And the main thing today to understand is the Bible simply says that God is love, and He loves you unconditionally, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. His love is entirely for the whole world, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If there's anybody in the world that you hate, you got to get rid of that. If there's anybody that's in that relationship that's going sour, make sure you can mend the fence and say, God, I did everything I could, humanly speaking, to try to mend that relationship, but don't harbor hatred. Don't harbor that in your heart, because it'll only hurt you on the inside. God simply says here that God is love. And if we really love Him, we will not hold anything in our heart or hatred toward another human being. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we can only love You today because we know You and You have expressed Your love to us. So, Father, You have set the example and set the bar, and God, as difficult as it might be in human relationships. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes it's hard to say that I forgive you. Sometimes it's hard to let go. God, and we know that is so difficult, but yet, God, you made it possible because you are love, and the very essence of knowing you is to know what love is all about. Yes, we can celebrate a Valentine's Day and share a Valentine and send somebody flowers and tell them we love them and how important it is to let others know that we love them. But God, to really know, the most important thing is that you love us, and you love us unconditionally, and you love all the world. And Father, today, may we be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we walk in fellowship in your love. And God, may you increase the depth of our love that we have for you and understanding who you are. And may we then, as we walk through this life, share the depths of that love with others around us that means so much to us in our life. When they hurt us, we love them. When they say bad things, we love them. When they do things unexpected, we still love them. God, your love is unconditional. Help us to be more like you each and every day. And give us the strength and the grace to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in that fellowship that we have with you. God, we love you, and help us to love our brother and our sister also. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, my friend, the greatest gift that you'll ever need is that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. God offers you that gift of salvation. And the greatest gift, and he offers that gift to you today out of love. And if you're here today and you're not yet trusted Christ, or you're not yet what the Bible calls born again by the Spirit of God, you can do so right now today. So all you got to do is open your heart and recognize that you're a sinner and say, God, I accept your gift. I accept your love today. If you desire to do that today, just pray this right where you sit. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I'm a sinner. I cannot get to heaven on my own. So God, today I ask you to save my lost soul. Today I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for eternal life. Today I accept that gift from Romans 6:23 that you promised. That gift of salvation. God, today, save my lost soul for eternal life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today, my friend. Brother Ron's going to lead us in a verse of invitation today. Oh, to know the depths of God's love. If you trusted Christ, your Savior, today, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help you in any way we can. You know what? There just could be somebody today, though, that for you to understand and know the depths of God's love. You might have to mend a relationship. You might have to say, you know what, I forgive you. You know what, I don't hold any grudge in my heart, whatever it is. That's hard to do, but God will give you the ability to do that. God's love is unconditional. If we're going to be more like him, then we got to love unconditionally. As Brother Ron leads this invitation, the altar's open if you want to come to pray. If we can pray with you, we'd be glad to help in any way that we can. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. About this today, if you will. You think about it, really, that's what we are, a piece of clay in God's hand. The mold is to shape us. He pulls out the imperfections to be more like him, to be more like God, to be more like Christ. We're going to have to learn to love unconditionally, to love those that perhaps hate you. Perhaps somebody that said something bad. Perhaps somebody that in a bad relationship or whatever. Say, you know what? Just do the best you can to mend that fence. Best way you know how. But in our hearts, if we really want to love God, we're going to have to love Him with all of our heart and love our fellow man. The greatest commandment in the Bible, they ask the Lord Jesus, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, as two of the greatest commandments in the Bible. We love you, God loves you, and no service tonight. And if you'll just greet your neighbor and say, great to see you in church.